Guys, Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
At 11:30, Gresh and Keith here with you on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com. And are we becoming SEC North here in New England? Let's talk about some of these Alabama players. Mike Rodak, who is a Providence College guy, once covered the Buffalo Bills and left for the burgeoning metropolis of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And to be quite honest with you, Buffalo stinks, and I don't blame him. Mike Rodak joins us on the Harbor One Hotline with Gresh and Keefe. Mike, I'm curious from your end, explain to us what it is like down in Alabama during the NFL draft, because for us, it's, hey, which Alabama players are going to come here? But, you know, the 2017 recruiting class for Nick Saban produced, like, what was it, 8 first-round picks or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. It's all about pride. So it's all about Alabama fans measuring up against how many picks Ohio State had and LSU had and Auburn had, which was pretty few for Auburn this year, so I'm sure Alabama fans love that. It's all about just watching their guys go to the next level and them being able to say, we have the most players in the NFL, we have the most draft picks this year, we have the most first-rounders. I mean, it's true. Every single record you look at, I think Nick Saban just passed Joe Paterno for the most first-round picks ever, 39, I want to say. Like you mentioned, our 2017 recruiting class has 8 first-round picks. 2 quarterbacks in that class are first-round picks, and Tua and Mac. So it's just about people kind of watching their guys grow up and going to the next level, and it's all about school pride down here. There's not a whole lot of interest in the actual NFL games and NFL season, I'll say.
Mike, it felt like Mac Jones was the most polarizing player in the draft. Some of the analysts had him as their second or third best quarterback. Some thought he should be a second-round pick. I'm curious, you mentioned the 2 recent first-round picks out of Alabama. Which one do you think will end up having the better pro career, Mac Jones or Tua Tagovailoa?
So I lean towards Mac, and less so about talent and more so about the injuries with Tua. I mean, Tua just can't really shake that problem. And it's not just the hip, which was the big story that everybody was watching last year. It was the ankle before that. I mean, 2 weeks before his hip, he hurt his ankle and needed surgery on it. He had an ankle injury the year before that, had a thumb injury before that. Goes to the NFL. I think he had another ankle injury last year. I think he had another thumb injury. It's just, he's got to be able to stay healthy and protect himself from hits and just stay on the field. I think that's the biggest issue with him. But he's a more talented player. You look back coming out of high school, it wasn't even close. I mean, Tua was a 5-star guy. Coming out of Hawaii, Mac was just this scrawny little 3-star kid. And the thing with Mac is I think he's really durable. He stayed healthy. He took some hits the last couple of years, but there was never really any injury issues with him. So if he stays on the field and he's reliable and he's durable, he can play in the NFL for 10 years. Now, is he going to be a 5-time Pro Bowler or 3-time Super Bowl champion? I don't know. I think he's really going to have to elevate his game beyond his talent level in order to do that. But I just, you know, I still think Tua is going to have a pretty good career, but there's more questions about him staying on the field. And I think just more questions overall, you know, consistency from him as well.
Mike Rodak covers Alabama football for AL.com and the Alabama News Group, I do believe. I hope I got that right. Mike Rodak with us here on Gresh and Keefe. Who is the Mac Jones you know? Like, if you could tell us the story of Mac Jones and how he got to the point of being the starting quarterback at Alabama, Mike, how would you tell that tale?
So he's just kind of this aw shucks kid. He's not Southern per se. Like, you guys have heard from him at this point. Like, he doesn't really sound like a Southern boy from Alabama, because he's not. He's from Jacksonville. You know, I think he grew up in a pretty well-to-do area, went to a, you know, pretty nice private school, played a lot of tennis. There's just sort of that just suburban quality to him that's a little bit aw shucks. And, you know, he probably hasn't faced a ton of hardship personally, as far as I know. But football-wise, yeah, I mean, he really had to fight even just to get on the recruiting scene. And then as a 3-star kid, I mean, to go to Alabama, and especially in the same class as Tua, like, he committed after Tua, he knew Tua was coming. You know that you're probably not going to see the field unless something crazy happens. And in his case, he got a little bit lucky because of that. I mean, if Tua never gets hurt, Mac never sees the field. I don't know if he's ever the starter at Alabama. He's certainly not a first-round pick or an NFL draft pick if that doesn't happen. So, you know, there's an element of luck there, but I do think that he certainly tried to fight his way in, and he worked for 3-4 years kind of behind the scenes just quietly and learning the offense and getting himself ready. And I think Nick Saban loves that because there's a lot of guys who go to Alabama who, if they don't get playing time after a year or two, they kind of view themselves as a guy that needs to get playing time. So they go somewhere else, they transfer. And that's a big problem right now. Well, Mac stayed. And I think it does speak to his character. Nick will talk about that a lot himself. And it's just, you know, it's an interesting dichotomy with him, I'll say, just between sort of this really easygoing guy, but also a guy that you talk to people who grew up with, people around the team, like he's really fiery. He's really competitive. He wants to win. You might not see it just kind of talking to him and just having a, you know, regular conversation with him.
How is he liked by his teammates? Because I think one issue he's going to have, not only is he going to be competing for the starting quarterback job, but right now Cam Newton is the starter, and Cam Newton is a massive personality. He's very charismatic. And even when he was struggling last year, every player across the board still defended him. They weren't losing because of him and everything else. How do you think Mac will sort of fit in that environment?
Yeah, so he was voted the team captain, which I think, you know, is the first kind of milepost there to look at. And I think that's legitimate. I think guys in the team certainly liked him. You know, they gravitated towards him. I think they respected him as, like I said, one of those guys who kind of worked his way into it. But I agree with you. Just kind of having followed the Patriots from afar last year, even before then, I think everybody knows Cam Newton's a big personality. And if at some point he's struggling during this season, let's say he's the starter week one and you get into October and the Patriots are 2-3 or whatever, and there's all this talk about starting Mac, like how will Cam respond to that? How will Mac respond to that situation? I think that's something you have to consider. But just knowing Mac, I don't know if he's the most assertive guy in the sense that he's going to walk into that locker room and try to be a bigger personality than Cam and try to make himself. So I don't know. Like, I don't think that's who he is. I think he's more of the guy who's going to quietly do it. And if his name's called, then he'll be ready. You know, how Cam reacts to that, I don't know. But I think it's something to watch. I just don't think that, you know, Mac's the sort of guy who's going to be trying to competing for teammates' attention with Cam. I just don't see that.
Mike Rodak with us on the Harbor One Hotline with Gresham Keefe talking about the Alabama draftees to the New England Patriots. Mike, that gets us to Christian Barmore. Patriots move up to get him. They list him at 6'4", 310. You know, he can line up over a tackle, over a guard. Like, Mike, you've seen this guy enough. Like, what is Christian Barmore at the NFL level in your opinion?
So I would say three technique, interior pass rush. You want him on the field on third downs. You want to get him after the quarterback. That's, I think, when he was at his best at Alabama, that's how he was being used. But the thing with Alabama is they still run that traditional 3-4 defense where if you're a defensive end, you know, think Ty Warren going back a while at the Patriots, you're just kind of sitting there occupying a blocker, occupying two blockers in some case. So, you know, is that the best spot for him to kind of play outside like that? No, I don't. I think he was a little bit miscast in that role at Alabama. Now the Patriots, it seems like they've gone back to more of that 4-3 look at sometimes where you have a three technique, you have a one technique, you can kind of get a guy inside that's more penetrating than occupying a blocker. So I think that's probably what he's better at. But he didn't do, I mean, he only started 6 games at Alabama. It wasn't like he was on the field for every down. It wasn't like he was had this big, long career. I mean, there's a pretty limited scope of work to look at from him. And it wasn't always, like, to be honest, like I probably talked about him more the past 3 days than I did in 2 years at Alabama. Just because it wasn't like he was making these plays every single game that you had to write about. I mean, at Alabama, it was always about the quarterback and the receivers. It wasn't about the defense. So, you know, is he a player who can impact the game 17 times a year? I don't know. But I think they're kind of projecting him based on what he did best at Alabama, his best games at Alabama, and then just sort of, you know, his makeup from a from a football standpoint, a physical standpoint, like you mentioned.
Now, what were some of the concerns, though, with Barmore, and not just the six games played? Because reading up on him, especially after the pick, it seemed like whether it was character concerns. I know there was an NFC scout that was quoted as saying Alabama barely held him together. What kind of issues was he dealing with?
Yeah, I mean, I read Bob McGinn's thing as well, and yeah, I respect Bob a lot, and I don't have any reason to say that's wrong. But I also can't confirm some of that stuff myself. So okay. It's one of those tricky situations where I really don't want to say it's true, but I don't know if it's necessarily false either. I'll just say that, you know, he was a guy who very rarely was put in front of a camera by Alabama, and they're very selective about which players they'll give to us. And it's always the players who they know are sort of the best character guys in the team, the best guys they can trust in front of the media. I can probably count on one hand the amount of times we talked to Christian Barmore in 2 years. So that's a little bit of a red flag to me, just in terms of what, you know, they thought of him being in front of the media. And then B, there's a situation during camp last August where he put some stuff on Instagram, essentially saying, you know, I'm done here. I'm not feeling it here. He deleted all the Alabama stuff off of his, you know, social media accounts. And it kind of got cleaned up quickly where I think a week later he posted Roll Tide for life or whatever. But it was, I'm sure the meeting there was saving. But it seemed like a situation where he was pretty frustrated. I know he wasn't getting first team reps, you know, in fall camp last year. And it's a tricky situation for me just to say, yes, there's character concerns, and I don't know that for sure. And I think at the end of the day, if there were serious concerns, I'm sure, you know, Nick Saban would have relayed those to Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick wouldn't have traded up to get him. But at the same time, I don't think that came out of nowhere. Like, I don't think that's just made up. So yes, I do think there's some level of maturity questions that probably will have to be answered, or culture fit questions, whatever you want to call it. But to the extent, I can't say for sure.
Mike Rodak of AL.com talking Alabama. Hey, Mike, thanks for the time, man, and reloading with us. We appreciate it, friend. Have fun down there. And what is it now? Like spring, actually, what, spring game over with? Like what's next for you in covering Alabama?
Well, their softball team's top five in the country.
Oh,
I can't
dear
say
Lord.
I know so much about college softball, but
yeah.
I got to learn it.
That's why you got in this business, Rodak, to be at a softball field in Tuscaloosa. Hey, thanks for the time, Mike. Seriously, we appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it, guys. Thank you.
There goes Mike Rodak. Well, now we know why Belichick loves Barmore, because the guy don't want to talk to the media.
You won't let him talk, because Saban's like, we're not going to have this guy out here.
Roll down tide.
He was about to transfer, then he was out, he's going to quit, he wasn't. So Greg Bedard had an article about this, and that's where he quoted some of the NFC scouts saying they barely held him together. And he also said, this is Bedard, I asked another scout if he had any specifics. And he said that just general accountability, getting to practice in class was a struggle for him.
Oh.
And Barmore has to be a very tightly controlled environment like Alabama has to succeed. Barmore also was in a very heavy rotation. Most players with his talent play upwards of 70% of snaps. His playing time just kept dropping to about a 50-50 split. Very unusual, and sent scouts digging for answers. One scout, quote, I think he's going to be a big-time bust.
Wow. Wow.
There's the Barmore breakdown.
So he's used to the rotation already, because that's what he'll be a part of here in New England.
But you wonder, was he there 3 years with Nick Saban? And if he has trouble with accountability, if you're late,
that's the big thing.
If you're late to a Patriots practice, like, just turn around and go home. Like,
you're probably
going to be done.
You'll be a Dallas Thomas.
Yeah. Or like Jonas Gray. You have a big game.
Oh,
like,
my
head,
God.
Like, see ya.
The legend
Bye.
Of Jonas Gray.
So, So we'll see. This guy's got talent, but I think that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and that's where the veteran accountability, that's where having guys like, look, they didn't have Hightower last year, and I thought that was a big void missing in the leadership.
Hightower and Guy are going to be big for
Very
this
much
guy.
So, absolutely. And hopefully this guy just ain't a knucklehead. Hey, don't miss anything Gresham Keefe. Subscribe to our podcast. Delivered to the device of your choice. All you got to do is subscribe. You can also find it at weei.com or odyssey.com. Coming up, the Bruins season is beginning to wind down. A back-to-back starting tonight in Jersey. We'll get you game ready next.